This evening, we are going to study a subject that not many people like, and especially civilized people, so-called. They do not like this subject. They do not like to hear this word being said. It's a four-letter word, and people do not like it. But then, this word is found in the Bible. And what is found in the Bible must be true. And I'm going to show you that it is true. And much as we would not like to hear it, much as we would not like to have anything to do with it, but because of the reality of what we are going to talk about, we must deal with it. We cannot run away from it, because if we do so, we are not fair to ourselves when one day we are found in such a predicament that we say, well, I came to this church. This church did not warn me about it. We would not like this thing to happen. And therefore, tonight, and many Sunday nights over here, the people in this assembly have been very, very persistent in telling you this wonderful thing about how to escape from this dreaded place. Now, first of all, let us look at what the Bible has to say concerning all of us, every one of us. We shall be turning to some Bible scriptures, and if you are not used to it, well, feel free to just listen to what I have to read, but if you can refer to the Bible, it will be so much better. And if you can sit beside someone who knows the Bible, it will be wonderful indeed. Well, we are going to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Please note these very solemn words. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, we cannot ignore this appointment, because that the precondition before this appointment is true of everyone. It says, it is appointed unto men once to die. And I'm very sure there is no one here who can say that he or she does not or will not die. Except, of course, those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come at this very moment, then those who have believed in him, we will not die. We will have our bodies changed. And we shall be caught up together to be with him. And to be translated into heaven, to be with him forevermore. But if he does not come, if he perishes, then those of us who are here, if we continue our life on earth, and he does not come within our lifespan, then we will die. And this is a fact that every one of us has to face. We cannot run away from it. But if this fact is true, because it said it is appointed unto men once to die, then the other part must also be true. And what is the other part of that statement? It says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. And this is the dreadful part that we should be afraid of. The judgment. What kind of judgment? Now, this judgment is going to be a terrible judgment. A judgment that will see the person who is judged and sentenced suffering eternally, where there will be no end to his suffering. It is horrible. And that's why we will try to get away from it if we can. And we can. Let us look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment or condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Ah, here is a way of escape. We need not have to come into judgment. It says there, "and shall not come into judgment." So there is a possibility that we may die, but we may not come into judgment. But how can we not come into judgment? Well, on this earth, it says here very clearly by our Lord Jesus Christ, "If you hear my word and believe on him that sent me, you will have everlasting life, eternal life, and you will pass from death unto life, from judgment unto eternal life, everlasting life." What a glorious news! And this is the glorious news that we want you to hear tonight. However, if you insist on rejecting this glad and good news that the Lord wants to give to you so that we can escape this judgment, then you have no other alternative but to face this judgment. And what is this judgment? Well, we now go into the subject of that judgment. We will have to turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I shall read through the passage first, and then after that, I shall go through verse by verse to examine what it really means. Verse 11 of chapter 20 of Revelation. And it's John here is recording what he saw. And he said, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." And this becomes the very title of our topic this evening: "Every Man Judged According to Their Works." Verse 14, "And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I was here last Wednesday, and I was talking about the judgment of those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, after they have gone up into heaven, they will have to face the judgment seat. And this applies to everyone. Everyone. But the wonderful thing about those Christians who will face the judgment seat is this: that they are not going to be judged for their sins. Why? Because their sins were judged on the cross. And that's the verse that we read just now, John chapter 5, verse 24. And what was that verse? That verse states very clearly, "He that believeth on me shall not come under condemnation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," and "he that believeth on me will not come into condemnation." And so, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall not come into condemnation. We shall not be judged. But why? Because Jesus Christ was judged in our place, in our stead. And that's why we are now free from that judgment. Our judgment for sin has been put aside. We need not fear. But those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will have to face the judgment of sin. And that's what it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And so, those who have believed, they will come into the church, and one day, as I said earlier, the church will be taken up into heaven when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. But they will also face another judgment. But this judgment is not because of the sin. This judgment is to test whether they have been faithful to God while they are left on this earth. Whether they have been faithful to God and have discharged all the responsibilities that God has given to them. And one of the greatest responsibilities is to proclaim the gospel to everyone. And that is why I am a Christian, and that is why I am now proclaiming this very good news to all of you, so that you will be able to join the church, and when Jesus Christ comes, then you will go into heaven. And this is what I'm doing now, because this is my duty. So that when I appear at the judgment seat of Christ, I will say, Lord, I have done my duty. Alright? But there is a second judgment. And this judgment is the judgment that is over here. What we have read about. This judgment is the judgment at the great white throne. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there will not be a judgment of sin anymore. But if you have not believed, then there will be a judgment of your sin. Because your sin has not been pardoned, and therefore you have got to be accountable for your sin. Alright, now let's see what is this judgment at the great white throne about. Now, to give you the perspective of things, this judgment at the great white throne stands at a time when we were talking about the judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, and then after that there will be 1,000-year reign of Christ of peace upon earth. Today people are seeking peace, world peace. Everybody is seeking world peace. Every nation is seeking world peace. But this elusive peace will never come upon this world. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. And so long as they do not own the Lord Jesus Christ. So this period will be the period which we call the millennium. Now, the judgment at the great white throne is the link between this period of peace when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and he will reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. This, after the reign of 1,000 years, the world that we live in will be burnt up, will fade away, and then space will be everywhere around us. And this is where the judgment of the great white throne will take place. We shall read about that afterwards. And then after that, the world will be burned up, and then eternity will come into being, where those who are sentenced at the great white throne will go to a lost eternity. To a lost eternity, which is known as the second death, that we shall read afterwards. Okay, with that, let us go into greater detail of what this judgment at the great white throne is. Right, let's look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. Now, thrones are mentioned many times in the Bible. But this white throne is a very special throne. Because this throne is a throne where judgment is made and sentence is meted out, and everyone who stands at that judgment will never hear the pronouncement from the judge, not guilty, go. No, everyone who stands at this judgment at the great white throne will hear the judge pronouncing guilty, 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 and everyone will be sentenced to the place where each must go, and which has been destined for a long, long time. Okay, I have been trying to avoid the use of this word, this four-letter word, but I must use it now, whether you like it or not. And it is the word hell. Many people do not like it. Many so-called civilized people do not like it. And they say that perhaps it is uncouth to use this word. And they say, and they never like this cursed word. Forgive me for mentioning it, because I need to use it as an illustration. Please forgive me. It is not with intention that I use this, but people do say, and we do hear, go to hell. You do not have to be afraid of these words, because at this moment of time, no one is in hell. You need not have to be afraid to go to hell. Hell will actually come into existence later on after the judgment at the great white throne. Therefore, at this moment, do not be afraid, but at the same time, be afraid, because you should know that if you do not have your sins pardoned, then you will have to stand at that judgment at the great white throne and hear the awful cry, guilty, guilty. Alright, let's see more about this judgment. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. Well, who is this person who is sitting on this great white throne? I saw him that sat on it. Yeah, we have a clue to it. Verse 12 we read, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now it's true, it is very true, that we read that they stand before God. But at the same time we know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, in John chapter 5 and verse 22, we read these words about the coming judgment. John chapter 5, verse 22, keeping your finger in Revelation chapter 20. And we read these words, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. And I believe that while it is true that all will have to deal with God, the person sitting on the throne, judging at the great white throne, would be the one to whom God has committed all judgment unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why so? Because it is the Lord Jesus Christ that everyone has to deal with. Today, we are telling you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will pass from death unto life, and you will have eternal life. So, the very one who now tells you to believe on him, he will be the one who will sit on this throne, and you will stand before him. And you will be the one to answer, why you do not believe in me? Why do you not believe in me? Why, when you are alive, you did not believe in me? Then, I'm sure you will have very little to answer. And the ultimate sentence will be pronounced, guilty. Then, the person will be sent to the destined place of all duty. Him who sat on the throne. Let's go on, verse 11. Whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, over time, there will be thousands, millions of thousands of people who have been born from the very beginning of time, right up to the time when they will face the judgment seat. No earth, no planet, no world could ever contain all these thousands and millions of people. No wonder this earth will fade away. This heaven will fade away. And in empty space, this judgment court will be held. And all those who have not believed in him will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom, if they had believed on him when they were on earth, they would not have to stand before him that day. But because they did not, they would have to do so on that day. And so we find in empty space, and you know, space, universal space, is ever infinite. All the people will have to be gathered and they stand before this judgment at the great white throne. We go on from there. Verse 12. And I saw the dead. John said he saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Let's take the first part of verse 12 first. I saw the dead, small and great. This judgment. No living person will be there. All the people who will be standing there will be dead people. People who have died. But then, they have not actually died. You see, when you and I die, when we die, our bodies are buried in the grave. But our spirit and our soul live on. And we don't die. We don't die. This was told to us by the Lord Jesus Christ in a story of Lazarus and the rich man. And we were told that Lazarus and the rich man died. And when they died, immediately Lazarus, who was righteous, he was ushered into paradise, into Abraham's bosom. On the other hand, the rich man, who was enjoying the riches and the pleasures of whatever he could find in this world, and ignored the very poverty of this Lazarus, he really enjoyed what it was to live in this world. Well, he died also. The poor must die. The rich must die. Everyone must die. It is appointed unto man once to die. He died. He died. And when he died, he was ushered not into paradise, but he was ushered into Hades. We shall learn more about Hades afterwards, what Hades really is. But notice for a fact that this man, this rich man, with high status perhaps, with social recognition perhaps, and prestige, this rich man who refused to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God, he went to Hades to await the time when he would come and stand before the great judgment at the great white throne. Right, that will be the day. We shall find out what will happen to the dead, because it will be a judgment of the dead. But yet, not dead, because the souls and the spirits still live. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great. That's very interesting. Small and great. Rich and poor. Small and great. Never think that because we are great in the social world that we are, that we live in, that we occupy a high status where we work, that we, while on earth, can command and demand. When it comes to death, all are equal. There is no difference. There is no distinction. There is no discrimination. Whatever race, whatever status, whatever sex, all will have to stand. Small and great, rich or poor. Everyone. This is the tremendous fact that we have to face when we talk about the judgment at the great white throne. We must go on. Verse 12, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Alright, there are two sets of books being opened. Now, I'm not sure whether these books are the little books that we have, and I'm not sure that it cannot be, in a way, they cannot be, because these books would have contained, will be so bulky with all the names of the people over the ages. But whatever it is, it is written in simplified form so that we who are human beings can understand the very infinite dealings of God with man. And so the books were opened. Two sets. One set would be known as the Book of Life, and there's only one book. The other set will be the books. And these books will contain all the works of the people who would be judged. There would be a judgment such that there is one to prove you guilty from an objective standard, and there is one to prove you guilty because you are not found in the Book of Life. Let's deal with the second set of books first, the books of works. You see, on that day, all those who stand before the Lord, as it were, will have their works just screened on the wall. Today, this is not an impossibility. Everything that is recorded on video, on CD, on DVD, whatever you want, everything can just be put on the screen and displayed. All your works, all that you have done, the good things as well as the bad things, all will be displayed. Perhaps if you are standing there, you may say, look, I have done so many good things. Look, these are the good things I've done. I've given to the poor. I'm very charitable. I have helped those who need help, and so on. And of course, I acknowledge that there are the bad things that I've done. I have hurt other people. I have said nasty things against people. I have pulled lines. I have cheated perhaps a little there and a little here. I have perhaps told some white lines, some green lines, some brown lines, some blue lines. But they're not black lines, they're quite alright. All these will be up there before us. But the sad thing is this. The Bible says very clearly, to show God's standard of judgment, God gave to the people of Israel the Ten Commandments. And it's stated very clearly, if you break any one of the Ten Commandments, you have broken all. And therefore, as you stand there before the Lord, you have broken so many commandments, so much so that you just cannot plead innocence. Because you break one, you break all. You break one, you break all. And therefore, you can't escape from the final sentence, a final verdict, and it is guilty. Guilty. And so, the books of works, all that you have done, will come out. Now, why so? Because we read again in the Bible, it says that we are saved by grace, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, salvation, to make it very simply, your enablement to go into heaven, to enjoy the life in heaven, that will be salvation, is not based on the performance of your works. Now, it will be very difficult if you go to heaven, and then because you are saved by your works, and I cannot perceive this situation where because you have done so well, you are so good a person, and then when you go to heaven, you will just strut around like a peacock. Because I have done so many good works. I have done this, I have done that. And then the poor me, who has not done that much, I just have to crouch around because you are so proud, and you have done so much, and I have done so little. Entrance into heaven cannot be based upon this. Because if it's so, then life in heaven will be very dull, will be terrible. There will be those who have a lot of works, they will boast. And there are those who have not, they will be so ashamed, so humiliated, and throughout all eternity, terrible. And therefore, we come, we hear the wisdom of the standard to go into heaven. And the wisdom is, by grace are you saved through faith. Meaning, that if you at all ever go to heaven, it's not based on what you are, it's not based on what you can do, but it is based on what you have, of who you have believed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ has done all this for you. Whatever is demanded of the law of God, Christ has achieved and accomplished everything for you. And you just have to believe, Lord, I believe that you have done all this for me, and that's all that you have to do. And that's why the Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and is passed from judgment unto life. This is how we should go into heaven, not of works. And that is why at that great judgment, on the great white throne, it will not be based on works. No, no, no. It will not be based on works. Because works are too variable. It must be based upon a standard. And that standard is, you, if have broken the law, you are guilty. And now let's go on. Remember, there are these books. But there is also another book. And this is called the Book of Life. And what is the Book of Life? Perhaps if you read, we can find a clue to what it means. For example, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found in that Book of Life. So, while the Book of Works will show your name and the works that you do in the Book of Life, if you cannot find your name there, you are guilty. You are guilty. And inevitably, if your name is found in the Book of Works, your name will not be found in the Book of Life. And if your name is found in the Book of Life, your name is not found in the Book of Works. So when you are found guilty, because your name is found in the Book of Works, and the Book of Works really condemn you, this Book of Life further confirms your guiltiness, your guilt. So and so, his name, her name, is not in the Book of Life, and therefore it's confirmed he, when he was on earth, when she was living on earth, each one never, never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, they had not passed from death unto life, they would come under judgment. And that's why they would appear at that judgment of the great white throne. We must go on. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them, and they will judge every man according to their works. Well, firstly, we need the sea give up the dead. Now, remember I told you, this judgment is a judgment of the dead. The dead. But by the dead, I do not refer to the dead bodies. I refer to the spirit and the soul. Now, what will happen is this. When the time comes for the judgment at the great white throne, the spirit and the soul will enter their bodies, whether these bodies be in the sea, or whether these bodies will be in the grave, whatever they be, these bodies will be raised. Before that, let me tell you what happens first when we die. When anyone dies, if the person has belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes to heaven. And that's why we read again and again, absent from the body, present with the Lord. How grand? Immediately, absent from the body, present with the Lord. when we die, the spirit and the soul are absent from the body, and the spirit and soul join, go up to be with Christ, present with the Lord, because the spirit and the soul have the life of Christ, and the life of Christ must attract the very life of Christ in you and in me, so that when we believe in Him, we have the life of Christ in us, and when we die, the spirit and soul will have the life of Christ, will go to join Christ. But those who do not have the life of Christ, the spirit and soul will go to a place that we call Hades. In your Bible, King James Version, it says hell. But actually, it's not hell. It is Hades in the Greek. And what is Hades? Or where is Hades? Hades in the New Testament is a Greek word which means which is the place for the departed dead. Everyone who dies now will go to Hades. In the Old Testament, the equivalent of the Hades is Sheol. It may mean the grave. It may mean the equivalent of Hades in the New Testament. And so a person would be in Sheol in the Old Testament. But today we shall say that all of us who die without the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be in Hades. Our spirit and soul will go to Hades. That will be the place of the departed dead. And that's why we read, when the time comes from the judgment of the great white throne, the Hades and the grave and Hades will give up the dead. They will deliver up the dead, so that those who have been in Hades all this time, year after year, thousands of years perhaps, they will be raised, and they will be given a new body, so to speak, so that this body cannot die again. And this incorruptible body, so to speak, I've used the word incorruptible between the commas, because it will not die as it would as he had died earlier, where the body would become corrupt and would decay and dust unto dust returned. No more. It would be given a body that would be able to last eternity, through eternity, and dead will be raised. Hades will give up the dead, and dead will stand before the judge at the great white throne. Terrible future, isn't it? But this is what it says there. And so we read that Hades, the sea, why the sea specially mentioned? Because those who die in the sea, well, their bodies experience a different experience. Those who die in the grave, in the land, or on land, they go into the grave and they go back into dust, dust unto dust it will return. But those who die in the sea, well, it's different. The body doesn't go turn into dust. And therefore the Lord will have a special way of making that body revive. And we find that the soul and the spirit of those in Hades will then go into all these bodies, and these bodies will stand before the judgment at the great white throne. And now, what happens? What happens? Well, we must know. It says there, verse 14, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Perhaps I should show you a transparency to show you what is meant by the first resurrection, the second resurrection, and the second death. Right. You see, what happens is, firstly, there will be what we call the first resurrection. Now, chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20, we read in verse 5, Revelation 20 verse 5, the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, during the period of the Great Tribulation, there will be people who die. But the church will not go through the Great Tribulation. The church will be raptured up into heaven before the Great Tribulation. And that's why this resurrection is called the first resurrection. First is not in the sense that that was the first one, because before this resurrection, there were other resurrections. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ died, and he rose again. He resurrected, number one. And again, we find that in Matthew chapter 27, when the Lord Jesus Christ was in the grave, and then he wanted, on the third day, when he was about to rise, there were others in the grave who also were resurrected. Then we find also that after the church had been raptured, there were two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11 who witnessed during the Great Tribulation, and they died, and 3 days later they were resurrected. And we know too that all those people who went through the Great Tribulation, they died, they were martyred. And John in Revelation chapter 7 was 14 asked, who are these people? They are those people who have gone through the Great Tribulation. They have risen, they have resurrected. So all these resurrections will be known as the first resurrection. The first resurrection. But it says very clearly, between the first resurrection and the second resurrection, there will be 1,000 years at least. The rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years later. All those who rose again from the dead to join Christ in the rapture would go through a selective resurrection. There is no general resurrection. Only all those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the actual words used are they who sleep in Jesus, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, they who sleep in Jesus, they will be resurrected and they will rise to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. But the rest of the dead, who are the rest of the dead? The rest of the dead, one, are those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are dead but not are in Christ. They are the rest of the dead, and they will remain in the grave. They will remain in the grave until such time, 1,000 years later, there will be the second resurrection. And this second resurrection is the resurrection of all those who are not in Christ, and they will face the judgment of the great white throne. That is the second resurrection. But we are also told of a second death. Please note verse chapter 20, perhaps verse 6 verse, chapter 20 verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Please note, blessed and what does it say there? Holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, meaning all those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who are granted the righteousness of the Lord, so that we become holy. These are the blessed people who have part in the first resurrection. But then it also says this, on such the second death has no power. On such the second death has no power. What is this second death? If you look down the chapter 20 and verse 14, death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The second death is the time when all those who stand at the great white throne are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Why second death? Second death because The first death was the time when all these people died and go to Hades. Now Hades gives up the dead, delivers up the dead so that they can stand on the great white throne. And at the great white throne, they are pronounced guilty. They will be sentenced into the lake of fire, which actually is hell. And when they go there, they will die the second death. And this second death is eternal. It's eternal. It will last for eternity. There will be no end to it. That will be the second death. So, the thing is this. Those who take part in the first resurrection will never have to go through the second death. But they will have to go through the first death. And the first death is when we die physically. So that today it can be said, if you are born twice, you die only once. If you are born once, you die twice. Look at what I'm trying to say. Our brother just now over here, chairman, he said you must be born again. We are born once into this world. Every one of us is born once into this world. But when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we had said, as we had sung just now, verily, verily, I say unto you, or sorry, not that verse, verily, verily, you must be born again. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are born again. And therefore we have a second birth. Those who are born second time, the second death has no power and has no authority over them, because they have gone through the second birth. But those who are not born again, and they have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they were born only once. And because they were born once, they have to die the physical death, that's the first death, and they will have to face a judgment seat at the judgment at the great white throne, and sentenced to the lake of fire, which is the second death. If you die, if you are born once, you die twice. If you are born twice, you die once. I hope you get this serious and very solemn statement, that we may understand seriously why, while we are on earth, we must decide to be born again, so that we need not have to go through the second death. Alright. Now, all those who stand at the great white throne will be sentenced. Not one can escape. Because all those who could escape, they would have escaped in the first resurrection. And all those in the 1,000 year reign, perhaps, they will also be raised. But those who are left behind in Hades, they will be facing the great white throne, sentenced to the lake of fire. The lake of fire is tantamount to being sent to hell. Now, in the authorized version, Hades is translated hell. It is not correct, because the word Greek, the big word is Hades, and the word hell, actual hell, is Gehenna. Gehenna. And the word Gehenna comes from a name that is given to the Valley of Hinnom. What is the Valley of Hinnom? The Valley of Hinnom is the place south of Jerusalem where the Jews would dump all the rubbish. I'm not very sure whether it is correct or not, but I have heard about it. I think those in the Philippines would know that in the Philippines there is a dumping ground, and they dump all the rubbish so that it becomes like a mountain, and you have this phrase, the smoking mountain. Am I right? Those from the Philippines? Yes, brother? Yes, good, thank you. The smoking mountain. The fire keeps on burning and burning and burning continuously. And that is the characteristic of Gehenna. A burning, burning, ever burning place. It's terrible. But worse than that, the Valley of Hinnom was also the place where in Jeremiah we read that people would throw their babies into the valley alive and burn them in sacrifice to idols. Terrible place. The Lord uses the word Gehenna, which originated from that valley of Hinnom, a rubbish place, which burned on and on, to give us a picture, an idea of what hell is. Because hell is a burning place, and that's why it's called a lake of fire. It is a place where the fire burns, and the person there cannot be consumed. The person there has a body that cannot be consumed. It will last. It will feel the torment. It will feel the pain. It will feel the torture. It will never, never deteriorate. Just as when we read, right, let's turn to the usage of hell by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Mark, Mark chapter 5, and we have an understanding of what hell actually is. Mark chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ had this to say when he was on earth, and we shall read Mark chapter 5, yes. Right, can you read verse? Hang on. I got this verse wrong. Wait a minute. Mark 9, I'm so sorry. Mark 9. That's right. Mark 9. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ gives a warning regarding hell. And this is the word Gehenna that we read, and not Hades. Verse 42, just for connection. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone was hung round about his neck, and he was cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, that is Gehenna, not Hades, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Please note, that is the very characteristic of hell, the fire that can never be quenched. It is a continuous burning. And whoever goes through it will never be destroyed. Go on, let's see about that. Verse 44, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. I'd like you to note this word, this text very carefully. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You put a worm today into the fire, it dies immediately, very fast. But this is one place where the fire burns, and the worm that is thrown into the fire will never die. It has that body. The person, you or me, without the Lord Jesus Christ, when pronounced guilty, sent into the lake of fire and to hell, we will have that body that will never die. And although we are burned and we are tormented day after day for eternity, we will never die. It is, in a way, like what Moses saw. The tree in front of him, burning, but the tree was never consumed. In hell, there will be this fire that will be burning, and it will never be quenched, and the worm will never die. And if the worm will never die, it means that you and me will never die if we should go to that place. Let us escape from that place while we can. I want you to look at the text further, because we can learn some more things about hell. Verse 45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter lame into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Please note the repetition. The Lord is emphasizing. Please, don't head for hell. Don't. If anything in your life today that hinders you from coming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is better if that one hand offends so that it will allow you to go into, to come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's better cut it off so that you can go into heaven, so to speak, with one arm chopped off. At least you can enjoy heaven. But of course, you won't do that. And in heaven, we won't do that, because in heaven, our bodies will be perfect. There won't be one arm chopped off. Our bodies will be perfect. But the idea is this. If there's anything that is holding you back from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's anything that stumbles you, that offends you, that perhaps what I say, whatever it is better that you accept what is stated and what is said, come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then have your two hands and not go into heaven, but go to hell. But I'd like you, as I close, to notice a very, very significant thing in this description of hell by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you should know, please note, verse 47. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Third time the Lord is saying this. Now, verse 49, please pay careful attention. Everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, with what will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. I'd like you to draw your attention to verse 49. You shall be salted. Everyone who goes to hell shall be salted with fire. What do we use salt for? We use salt to preserve, so that whatever has the salt can last, and last a long time, to preserve. Salt has a preservative characteristic to preserve. Unfortunately, this characteristic is also true of those who go to hell, because they will be salted with fire. Terrible thing, isn't it? You will be preserved to go on and on enduring. And the preservative for that torment that you will be going through is the fire itself. You will be salted with fire, tormented with fire, and where the fire does not quench, and the worm dies not. This is the second death. I finish with this. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. The judgment at the great white throne. But there is no need for everyone to go through it, because the Lord Jesus Christ has said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that hath sent me, has everlasting life, and is passed from death, from judgment unto life." You don't have to go through the judgment. No, you don't have to. Unless you want to. And it's a terrible judgment. May the Lord speak to you, touch your heart, so that you will come to know him, to believe in him, while yet there is time. Because when you die, and you pass away from this earth, there will be no second chance. What you decide now will be your future destiny in heaven or in hell.